So, as many of you know, over the past several weeks, we have been doing our leadership series. And by now, I hope that you all understand and accept the fact that you are, in fact, a leader. If you have influence in life, you are a leader. And every one of you, regardless of what your role is, regardless of what your status is in life, you have influence, whether it's among your relationships, your friendships, your home, your work, your school. You have influence. For many of us, the daunting thing about accepting the call to lead, and maybe why many of us don't like to consider ourselves leaders, is the time that it will cost, the investment that it will require of you. And no one wants anything to add to their plate. No one wants more responsibility. I mean, most of us don't. We would like more authority. We would like more influence, some of us. But we don't want to have to add more to our plate. But here's the truth. Leading well will require you to manage your time wisely. Leading well. What I mean by that, you can be a leader and not manage your time properly. Many leaders do that. But if you want to be a good leader, if you want to lead others well, if you want to make the most and greatest use of your influence, it requires you to manage your time properly. Because the result is burnout. The result is you're limited in your capacity to influence others. That you may be neglecting your gifts and your calling and what's most important to you because you're not properly managing your time. Regardless of whether or not I know you well, regardless of maybe I haven't had the honor and privilege of introducing myself to you, and I'd love to correct that after the service, but there's something that I know about you, or at least most of you. You're a busy person. You're a busy person. You have so much going on in life. You have so many different responsibilities. And you just feel like there isn't enough time. In fact, many of us find ourselves saying something like, there just aren't enough days in the week. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands if you've ever said that, but we're often like, there's just not enough time in the week. There just aren't enough hours in the day, months in the year. It feels like we're limited in our time. Say, we just wish we had more time. But the reality is, there are enough days in the week. There are enough days in the week. There are enough hours in the day. We believe that God intentionally designed our weeks. And the interesting thing is, He Himself worked within those time constraints. When creating the universe, He did so within 6 days and rested the seventh. We find this in Genesis. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. In Exodus, it says, 6 days you shall labor. This is a commandment to the Jewish people. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. We're going to talk about rest and the idea of the Sabbath next week. Now, to be clear, we are not under this law as a commandment to us, but it is a good principle to live by. Because God gave this commandment to the Jewish people in order to help them, in order it for their benefit. So God designed our weeks to actually have time for both work and rest. In fact, He commanded an entire day of rest. And listen, I know we're partly joking. I know we kid, but the truth is, and this is convicting for myself, the statement that there just aren't enough days in the week is honestly an insult to God's creation and his purpose. Because we all know this, whether or not we say it, it's not the number of days in the week that is the problem. The problem is us. The problem is how we use them. It's not God's fault that we're so busy and we don't seem to have enough time. I mean, come on, he created the universe in 7 days, which, yes, he is God. But it's not on him that we feel like we don't have enough time. It's on us. And the danger that we fall into, and this is probably an obvious statement, but the danger we fall into is if you don't manage your time will manage you. Who do you feel like is in control of your life? You or your time? Do you feel like you are a servant to your schedule? You are a servant to your time? Or do you feel like you are managing your time? You are in control of your hours. You are in control of your day and your week. Who is in control? And part of the reason so many of us feel like our days just fly by and our weeks just fly by. I mean, who's surprised that it's already November? Christmas is just around the corner. It does feel like it's flown by. But part of the reason why is we're just so surrounded by distractions and time wasters. Things that cause us to lose track of time. Paul wrote in Ephesians, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The days are evil. The days are full of distractions, things that can fill our days and keep us from doing what's important. So we need to track how we spend our time. Point four, track how you spend your time. We all waste extraordinary amounts of time throughout our week, especially today in the modern age, in the digital age. We're surrounded by distractions. And what do we say? We say we lost track of time. Now think about that phrase, lost track of time, meaning we're not keeping track. We aren't even aware of how much time we are spending doing certain things. Moses actually wrote about the concept of tracking time, and he was an incredibly wise leader in the times of the Old Testament, in the times of the ancient Jewish people. He wrote in the book of Psalms, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, whether or not, whatever you think about Moses or the Old Testament or Scripture, this is still an incredibly wise and profound statement, a statement that has the potential to change your life. He's saying, let us not lose track of our time, but track it. Number our days. Let's be reminded of our limited time on earth, because we do have a limited time on earth. Number your days. Every day, remember that you need to make the most of this opportunity, as Paul wrote, because of our limited time on earth. And again, here, just as Paul wrote, we see another correlation between time and wisdom. Time and wisdom, because by numbering our days, by remembering our limited time, we will gain wisdom in how to spend it, which is what Paul wrote about. So Moses says, by keeping track of your time and remembering your limited time, you will then be able to do what Paul says, by wisely choose how to spend your time. Now, most of us know if you want to create a budget for you or your household or your family, you need to know first how you spend your money. You can't properly create a budget without tracking your current spending. We need to do this with our time too. We need to ask ourselves, where are we wasting time? Listen, I'm not anti-phone, anti-internet, anti-social media. Obviously, there are many challenges, there are many issues, there are many problems that our society needs to face with them, but there are still some benefits. I mean, I have type 1 diabetes. I need my phone to give myself insulin and to track my blood sugars. Without the phone, it'd be very difficult. But we know this. Phones are extraordinary time wasters if we allow them to be. Some of you may know this, but some of you may not. Your phone actually has a feature on it that it tracks your use, the time that you spend on it. Sometimes you have a setting that it sends you a weekly report, and I just ignore it and swipe past it. But it tells you. It tells you how much time you spent on your phone. It compares it to the last week, and it tells you how much time you spend on each app. And honestly, it's frightening. It's scary to see how much time you spend on your phone. And those of you who are older, you often like to say, well, kids these days spend so much time on your phone. Check your time. Check how much time you're on Facebook. I'm sure it is much more than you realize. So I want to give you a challenge to spend a week logging your time. Spend a week seeing how you spend your time. Write it down. Keep a log. Keep a journal. How much time you're working. How much time is your commute? How much time do you have for meals? How much time are you watching TV? How much time are you spending with your family? How much time are you doing hobbies? How long are you sleeping? How long are you on your phone? And I want to challenge you, don't try to change anything in your schedule while you're doing this, although the accountability to yourself is going to cause you to try to change things. But just see, in an average normal week, how much time do you spend doing something? And once you have a good idea of how you spend your time, allow that wisdom, as Paul said, to guide you in this next step. Schedule everything. Get in the habit of scheduling everything. You most likely have a calendar. Many of us have a calendar on our phone. Start using it and start filling it. Saul wrote in Proverbs, and he's one of the wisest men to ever live, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." If you want to lead a better life, if you want to create a better life for yourself and for your family, you need to plan out your week. Plan out your month. I would challenge you to plan out your year. And some of you may be surprised by that, but do your best to fill your calendar as detailed as possible. The greatest leaders of today, some of the greatest leaders in businesses and organizations, plan their calendar out so far in advance and so detailed. And I get the resistance you may have. For many of us, the idea of filling our calendar seems horrible. The idea of planning everything out and looking at a calendar and seeing it filled with things seems horrible. We love the look of an empty calendar. We love flipping through calendar, turning to the new calendar, and seeing nothing happening. Seeing nothing go on. It's a breath of fresh air. But an empty calendar is a trap. An empty calendar is a trap. Because if you don't take the time to already fill your calendar, if you don't take the time to schedule things for yourself, other people are going to fill it for you. You know this. Other people are going to determine and dictate your month, your week, your day, your year. November 2023 was once an empty calendar. A few months ago, you look to November, oh, there's nothing going on. It's not empty anymore, is it? It's full. And I'm guessing if you flip towards February 2024, it probably looks a bit clear right now. It probably looks a bit empty. But it's a trap. Start filling it. And when you fill stuff, when you start scheduling things, I want to challenge you, schedule your time off. We're going to talk all about time off and rest next week and how you should actually spend your time off to truly find rest. But schedule your time off. Schedule your time with your family. Decide, whether it's yourself or with your partner or with your family, what day of the week or what times you want to spend with your family and put it in your calendar. Don't just decide and say, oh yeah, that's good, we'll aim towards that. No, schedule it every single week in your calendar. Put it on your phone and keep it there. And the reason you want to do this is because when somebody asks something of you, when somebody asks if you want to meet, if you want to do something, if you can do something for them, if you can come to a certain event, you pull out your phone, say, let me check my calendar. You pull out your phone and you see you have something scheduled. You have plans. And healthy people will respect that and will leave that. Healthy people will say, okay, well, maybe we can figure out another time. Or, okay, I understand you have something going on. But the people who push it a little bit, the people who ask you what you have going on, they just reveal themselves to be unhealthy people. They reveal themselves to be the type of person that doesn't respect your boundaries. And those people are dangerous. Those are the people, if they don't respect your boundaries, if they don't respect your time, you need to avoid saying yes to them. It's obviously good to serve people. We believe that's one of the core tenets of life. But it's also healthy to have boundaries. And some people need to learn what boundaries are. And maybe you can inspire them to set boundaries of their own. And you can't properly love and serve your own family if you're not setting boundaries. Your family should come first. And again, we'll talk about how to schedule or how to spend your time next week, but I just want to encourage you, schedule your time off. Start making that change. One of the most important things for managing your calendar and your schedule and using the best of your time is to establish your priorities. Establish your priorities. In this season of life, you probably haven't asked yourself this question, not literally, but ask yourself, in this season of life, this stage of life that you are currently in, what is the most important to you? What's the most important to you? Right where you are, don't think long term, think this season in life, what is it you are looking to accomplish? What is it that you're looking to build towards? What is it that about yourself that you're looking to improve? What are your priorities right now? And focus on those things. Build your schedule around those things. And when you start to examine your priorities and focus on, okay, what's actually important? And what honestly I've been neglecting? There are likely things in your current schedule that you need to give up. There are likely things that you have going on your day and your week, your month, that you need to give up because you're neglecting your highest priorities or what's most important to you, what your values are, for the little things. And you need to give those up. And maybe not permanently, but for this season of life. This is a term that I stole from Andy Stanley, but he says, create a no for now, not forever list. No for now, but not forever. What do you, or your spouse, or your family, need to say no to now, but not forever? Maybe this is a hobby. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's social media. It could even be a certain group of people. Maybe it's overtime. Maybe it's putting in those extra hours. Maybe it's a project that you have going on. For this season of life, you may need to give that up. Something you need to temporarily put away. And I understand, maybe giving up a hobby is difficult. The idea of giving up a pastime is difficult. But if it's taking you away from your family, or you are trying, you don't have a family right now, and you are trying to invest in work, maybe it's taking you away from that. Maybe you feel like God is calling you to do a certain thing, to do a certain project, to serve in an area of church, but you have a hobby or you have social media or TV is robbing you of that time. Say no to it now. I'll say, and some of you might be like, I enjoy playing video games. I used to play video games. I personally don't think there's wrong. It's just anything wrong with enjoying video games. Obviously, it depends on the game. But this is something that I've really said no for now, not forever. Because in this season of life, I recently got engaged, as many of you know. My priority is building that relationship and focusing on that relationship and spending time with my fiance. So I hardly play games anymore. I hardly spend that time because that's not the priority. Will I return to it? Probably. Will I still do it every now and then if she's at work and I'm not, or you know, something's going on? Yes. But I'm not investing all of my time in that because it's not what's most important. And for Christians, for those who consider yourself a follower of Jesus, your first priority should be serving God. Putting the kingdom first. We talk about this all the time. Jesus said, and Matthew recorded it, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So for followers of Jesus, what in your life, what in your schedule is keeping you from doing that? What is keeping you from spending time with God and reading his word? What's keeping you from joining or leading a small group? What's keeping you from serving regularly in the church? What's keeping you from attending church? This isn't a verse in the notes or up there, but in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, a letter to Jewish Christians in the first century, he said, don't fall into the habit of neglecting to meet together. Keep meeting together. That means attending church, attending small group. Church, for many of us, is no longer a priority. We won't go because we don't feel like going. I'm tired. I don't really feel like going today. So I don't go. It's no longer a priority. Maybe you are tired because you're doing something else on your list that shouldn't be your highest priority. Identify those things, whatever those things are, and put them away from a season. And also, when you're establishing your priorities, I want to encourage you, every day should include a meaningful connection with others. Meaningful connection with others, whether it's friendships or maybe even coworkers, building a relationship with a coworker or an acquaintance, or especially your family, shouldn't be restricted to one day of the week. Quality time with family or friends shouldn't only be on Saturdays or Sunday afternoons. Now, I encourage you to spend an entire day of meaningful connection, but don't limit it to that one day. Because we're actually created and commanded to love others and be in community and fellowship with others. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Your greatest purpose in life is to love God and love others. And if you have things in your day that are keeping you from doing that, say no for now, not forever. I talked about her 2 years ago, a long time ago, but there's this woman named Bronnie Ware. She's a woman who, in her career, she worked in end-of-life care. So she spent hours and days and weeks and months working with men and women who are at the end of their life, their final stage in life. And many of her clients or her patients would just talk to her. Many of them were alone. Many of them were lonely. She was the only person that they could approach. And they talked to her about their life and their regrets. And the regrets people shared began to influence Bronnie's life. She began to compile them and document them. And she actually ended up writing a best-selling book. Maybe some of you have heard about it. It's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, A Life Transformed by the Dearly Departing. And this is what she said were the most common regrets people had, the top 5 regrets of those at the end of their life. First one is this: I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish that I had let myself be happier. At the end of your life, maybe you haven't thought about this, and I encourage you to. At the end of your life, do you want to be filled with regret? Do you want to have regrets? Or will you decide today to stop allowing others to dictate your time? To stop letting work keep you away from your family. To be courageous enough to say no when you're burnt out and when you're exhausted and you know that what someone is asking of you isn't your highest priority and will take away from that. To schedule time with friends that you don't lose track with them. Don't fall out of touch with them, and to make time for yourself as God intended for you, to focus on your joy, your inner peace, your rest, your happiness. Jesus said, he's talking about people who are scheduling the next day and the next week, and he said, "Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed for any of us. And it's so easy for us to want to sacrifice what's important for what's urgent. I'm not going to spend time with my family tonight because I have to work on this. Once this is done, I can invest in my family. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it Saturday. I'll do it next week. That time isn't guaranteed. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. For those of you who are parents, doesn't it feel like time has just slipped by? Yesterday, there were little babies, and today they're in school. Yesterday, they were running around and playing in an elementary school, and today they're in high school, or maybe they're even off to college, or they're adults. And for those of you, maybe you already have regrets. Maybe you look back and you feel like you've already lost time. But I want to encourage you. It's not too late. Don't spend your time now mourning what has been lost. Don't spend your time now mourning yesterday. Make the most of the opportunities, as Paul wrote, to forge meaningful connections now. Don't focus on yesterday. It's gone. Don't waste any more time thinking about the past. Focus on today. We all have regrets. But today's a new day. Today's a new hour. Today's a new minute. Today is a new day that we can decide to try to live a life free of regret. So if you're a parent, embrace the stage of life that they are in now and be there for them. For others of you who have regrets of wasting their time living a life that others have expected for you rather than living a life of your own. For those of us who regret having spent so much time on a screen rather than focusing on the life around us. For those of you who had a dream that, you know, I wanted to write a book someday, but you just end up wasting that time watching TV. You're consuming rather than creating. It's not too late. For those of you who have wanted to travel, but you've given it up for other things, it's not too late. For those of you who have sacrificed your personal well-being for work, it's not too late. Start making changes today that will prevent a regretful tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the time that you have given us, regardless of how much it is. We just pray that you would guide us, that we would seek your wisdom in how to spend our time, how to make the best use of our time, that you would challenge us and remind us of what our true priorities are or should be, and that we would have the strength and the courage and the wisdom to say no to things that we should say no to. Maybe not forever, but for now. We thank you for challenging us also to not focus on work all the time, but that you've given us time for rest, and we just pray that we would be challenged to take that time as you want for us. We pray for next week's message, that people would come away knowing how to experience true rest and how to make most of their time off. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.